Good morning. What an absolutely gorgeous day to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. We really appreciate your willingness to be part of the fellowship of believers here at Little Swatara. We just want to highlight a few announcements this morning. The photo directories, if you have not located them yet, are right outside those doors. And we thank everyone who participated in getting your pictures taken and those behind the scenes and those on the front lines helping that directory to come to fruition. We very much value everyone being a part of that. And we just encourage each family to grab one of those as you're available to do so. We also just want to highlight there's a food pantry collection that's being taken on November 13th, and we're looking for non-perishable food items to be able to bless others. So that's next week, the 13th, and there'll be a food pantry collection. Just want to share a many thanks from Cindy, Errol, Missy, and Naomi Moyer. It says, "Dear men's ministry members, thank you for helping at the Moyer auction this past September. Oops, I mean August. Your willingness to help in so many different ways that day was greatly appreciated. Your actions of kindness and friendship allowed our family to participate in the day with less stress. Thank you for showing our family such love and kindness." And so we give a shout out to the men's ministry and the wonderful work they've been doing, as well as so many other ministries here in this church. Are there other announcements? I hope you enjoyed Youth Yummies today. Any other announcements you'd like to highlight? If we can get a microphone to Burl, she has an announcement. Wonderful, thank you. And many people have asked updates on Haiti. Our goal, if you haven't heard, is $20,000 to raise to be able, $7,500 of that goes towards a house, and then the rest of the expenses help in our Haiti mission outreach. And we've reached, it was $71,1694, but after yesterday, it was a little over $500 we raised, and so our balance is around $7,700. We are booking our plane tickets today, so if anyone has been on the fence, not quite sure if they're going to Haiti or not, we just encourage you to come by the pastor's office, and if you want to sign up for your plane ticket, we are making that arrangement for the Haiti mission team today. So we just thank everyone for their support, and on behalf of the Haiti team, we want to thank the faithful men for donating the food for the concert that raised a significant amount for us, $1,084, and just a shout out to the faithful men for helping us in that regards from the Haiti team as well. Any other announcements before we rise and greet one another and join in worship? Yes, Marlene.
I would like to thank the missions and ministry team and the cooks for hosting the Golden Age dinner last Sunday. The food was delicious, the program was good. It was a good day, so thank you.
All right, there's no other announcements. Let's rise and greet one another. I welcome everyone to Little Swatara. you be seated. I invite you now during this time to share any joys or concerns you may have. There'll be a microphone coming around. Just lift your hand in the air and we'll get a microphone to you so we can all hear you. You'll notice in your bulletin there are a list of prayer concerns, and we try to keep that as up to date as possible. And if you have any joys or concerns you'd like listed there, just see the church secretary or also see me, and we'll make sure those get listed in the prayer concerns in the bulletin.
Last week, I shared that Michael's stepfather, Demi, was going to undergo the stem cell treatment. So that took place this week, and so now they're just waiting to see if it was successful. So he's still in the Hershey Med Center. He's staying at the Hope Lodge in the Hershey area so he can have blood work done each day. He seems to be doing well, good spirits. We've spoken to him over the past several days. So thank you for your prayers.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your patience with us. We thank you for the mercies that you give us new each day. And we come now before you, Father, asking for prayer for those that have been on our heart and those that have been struggling and those that have been recovering and those that are awaiting procedures and decisions and results. And Father, we're just asking you to be our shield of comfort and to be able to be the God we know in every circumstance we can turn to. And we just thank you, Father, for being ever so present in every concern that we have, every joy that we have, we thank you, Father. We think especially of those on our prayer concerns this morning, of Catherine Wenger and Bruce Moore and Mia Hussman and Linda Ziegler and Ruth and John Hoover and Carl and Faye Balsball and Carol and Pete Sanchez and Dorothy Murky and Mike Miller and Lauren Cass and Michael's father. We just place into your loving arms, Lord. We just trust them to you and we ask your will to be done. Father, you know exactly the healing touch that they need. You know the patience that they need in their circumstances. You know the strength that they need and the encouragement. Father, just help us as the people of God to draw near to one another and share in edifying and uplifting. We think, Father, of marriages this morning and just lift up every marriage represented here this morning and every marriage-to-be engaged couples, Father. We just lift them up. And we know the extreme importance of marriage as you designed it. And we just pray, Father, we would indeed just be caring and nurturing towards our spouses and especially towards our children as we teach them the way of you, Lord, and what the truth looks like and how to live that out. Just help us, Father, in our families and in our marriages. And for those that are here that have lost loved ones, we continue to pray your comfort, and we know the memories flood our minds each day, and we just pray, Lord, that you would give us peace and just give us your heart that we would be able to share that with others as we go throughout our week and our days. We thank you, God, for loving us and giving us the opportunity to be forgiven, which we come before you now in prayer and ask for forgiveness for those sins that have entered our lives and we've committed this week. Also, Lord, hear the prayer of our hearts. Father, we have such gratitude for the cross. We know the meaning and the power of the cross and what it means for our sins, that they're forgiven once and for all. And Father, we pray that those sins in our lives that we struggle with daily, we'd be able to turn from with your help and your guidance and with the Spirit's leading. We just thank you, Father, for forgiveness. We thank you for an empty tomb, knowing that the victory's been won, death has been conquered, and we just live this life trying to bring glory to you and trying to replicate who you are to others and share in that love and compassion that one day we would gain our eternal reward. And we just think, Father, of those that are going through difficult times right now, and we just ask that you would be near to them and guide them and direct them and help them to know your presence in a powerful way. And we just thank you for gathering each one here, whether our first time here or we've been here for a long time. Father, we're so blessed to be a part of Little Swatara and this wonderful congregation. And we ask your blessings upon each one. Go with us as we leave this place. Help us to share your love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our God.
We know we serve a generous God who gave us life, and now we give our lives back to Him, presenting ourselves, our work and play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources, to be used by Him for the sake of all people everywhere, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, we thank You for the gifts that are about to be received, and we pray, Father, that You would indeed be glorified. We thank You for the giver and ask Your abundant blessings upon them. Thank You for the opportunity to trust and to know You more and more through the sacrifice of giving and offering. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. sister and come join me up front. Isn't that apple on the screen a beautiful apple? It's so shiny and so red. Do you think it tastes good on the inside too? You're probably thinking, you can't tell an apple by its looks. You have to check on the inside. I have a story to tell you about that. One day, while walking through an orchard, a man stopped under an apple tree. It was loaded with beautiful apples, just waiting to be eaten. The man picked one that looked just like the one on the screen. He couldn't wait to taste it. He got out his pocket knife and cut it open. Do you know what was on the inside? A rotten apple. Do you think that happens with people too? Unfortunately, it is the same. Some people go to church every Sunday. They carry their Bibles, they bring their offering, they sing every hymn, they listen to every word the preacher says, but it doesn't change anything. They look good on the outside, but goodness is only skin deep. Their worship is for appearance only, and not from the heart. This isn't anything new. Jesus had the same thing happen in his time. One day, some religious leaders complained to Jesus that they had seen some of his disciples eating without washing their hands first. Religious laws and traditions said that you have to wash your hands before you eat. Why don't the disciples follow the customs? They washed their hands. They didn't wash their hands. They did, and then they eat? Jesus answered, "You are nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. The prophet Isaiah must have been talking about you when he said, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship has no meaning because they have replaced God's laws with their own traditions.'" Those religious leaders were concerned about the clean hands. And Jesus, you know what he was more concerned about? What was he more concerned about? He was concerned about a clean heart. Should we be concerned about a clean heart too? Yeah? That's your job for this week. Keep a clean heart. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us to be more concerned about being clean on the inside as we are about being clean on the outside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys, back to your seats.
There was this family that lived deep in the countryside. They had no electricity, no plumbing, not a single modern amenity that we've become used to. Well, there was a young boy that was part of this family, and he could handle the living conditions except for one small thing. He despised the outhouse. It was hot in the summer, it was cold in the winter, and it always had such a smell. Well, this outhouse was located right next to the creek. He had this bright idea when it rained and the creek got higher that he would simply push the thing into the water and watch it float away. He had had enough. So sure enough, the rains came, the waters rose, and this little boy grunted and grunted and pushed until this outhouse went into the stream. Paying little attention to the sound that came from it, he left with that outhouse floating down the creek. Later that night, his dad stormed into the house and told the boy they needed to take a trip to the woodshed. The boy knew what this meant. Dad found out about the outhouse. Punishment was at hand. So the boy fessed up and said he couldn't stand having to use it. And then Dad piped up and he said, "Son, do you remember when George Washington chopped down the cherry tree?" "Yeah, Dad, I remember. He didn't get in trouble because he told the truth, just like I did." "Yeah, that's correct, son. But the difference is, his father wasn't in the cherry tree when he cut it down." Now, most of us have never toppled an outhouse. But in many ways, we can identify with that young boy. The question we often ask ourselves is, why do we do the things we do? Especially when we know what we're about to do could cause us to be in trouble. And here's my conclusion. When it's all said and done, our actions and words boil down to a choice. And God has clearly shown us that life is a matter of choices and the heart. Now, throughout our days, we'll face a variety of choices. Some will be very easy, others will be quite difficult. But these choices are often decided by a matter of the heart. For this reason, friends, there's no greater importance than to keep God's word continually upon our minds, upon our thoughts, and upon our lips. You see, the second we give the enemy an opening, he'll pounce and pry and try as he may to be an influence in our choice. We have to look no further than the first book of the Bible in Genesis in the garden. We know from last week that everything was perfect. That is, until Eve was given a choice. It's not like she had a world of influence like we do. It was her, Adam, and God walking and talking in the garden. But then, something happened unlike anything else they'd ever faced. The serpent enters the scene and begins to question what God said. "Surely you will not die." And perhaps for the very first time, Eve is made to think. She says, "Well, I guess you're right. What could it really hurt? Maybe that's not really what God meant." And we know she makes a decision that affects humanity for all time. A bit of curiosity, second guessing God, and mankind falls. Sin enters the world, and our lives have never been the same. What seemed like such simple instructions from God to stay away from the tree of life in the center of the garden turns into a choice that influenced a matter of the heart. You see, good and evil are constantly at play. And friends, we know they don't fight well together. That imagery we often see of a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other, you know, it's not all that far off. Our hearts have the power to lead us into all truth. But our hearts also have the ability to be tainted by the influence of an enemy that's prowling around, causing us to second guess, to question things all the time. But we have to ask ourselves this morning is, how often is that happening in my life? Take a moment and just examine your life and think about that last choice that you made. Did it come easy? Did the word of God inform you? Or was it a decision you made and weren't quite sure afterwards, you second-guessed yourself? You see, we can't forget that with those choices often comes motives. And our motives behind our choice is actually even more powerful to bring life or death to others. Think about that for a moment. Based on what we say or do, we can impact another person who we know will impact yet another, and yet another, and that cycle of destruction continues. We see it in marriages, we see it in families, we see it in relationships all the time. The world tells us that revenge is sweet, and at times it almost becomes second nature. You call me a name, I'll call you a name. You do something to me, I'll do something to you. It doesn't stop there. It then influences those around us. It's not far from the truth. If mommy and daddy are happy, everybody's going to be happy. Our children, those closest to us, often take the brunt of those feelings we're experiencing. And at times, we can even see it happening in the life of the church. It's a pattern of behavior continually affecting the world today. In our scripture, we'll see that certain strict Jews made a choice, and it was a matter of their heart. They believed salvation was still not available to all. They had conditions to be saved, and in many ways, we see it at play in the world today. So they argue, and they choose to ignore the fact that God was inclusive. Listen in and follow along, if you will, in Acts 15, 7 to 18. Again, Acts 15, 7 to 18. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. When they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild and I will restore it, that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord who does these things, things known from long ago. So after this heated dispute, the room falls silent. The Message version reads, they could hear a pin drop. The kind of silence that convicts, the kind of silence that makes us think. Now there's an idea, to think before we speak, to think before we act. I'm convinced that the enemy is one of our biggest cheerleaders. He says, go ahead, speak out of your bitterness, act out of your anger or rage. What's one more piece of chocolate eclair or another handful of chips and a bottle of beer? After all, isn't it eat, drink, and be merry? Go ahead. Let greed and envy get the best of you. You can be jealous. Look at the car they drive. It's shiny with all the power options. The house they own? So many rooms, so many possibilities. Oh, and don't forget about the clothes and shoes they're wearing. You gotta look the part, my friend, the world says. You can talk behind their back. They don't hear you anyway. Start that rumor mill. Did you see that guy? Did you see that girl? Take a second, take a third, take a fourth look. You won't be tempted. It's just a look. Boast away. You're better than anyone else. Have you heard how you sing? How you make those sales on a daily basis? Love money, more money. Buy anything and everything you want, the world says. What's it really going to hurt? You can have it all. Life, love, and happiness. You see, friends, it's all a matter of the heart. It's all in who we listen to. And when days and weeks and months go by, when we're not listening to the Word of God, we're not seeing what the Word of God has to say, it's easy to become distracted by what the world wants from us. And Scripture is ever so clear. In Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And friends, no matter how much someone claims to know your heart, your husband, your children, your wife, your grandkids, only God truly knows your heart. He's very much aware of our motives. He understands our frustration. He gets the envy that's been built up inside of us. Yet, He longs that we choose to bring life, to show peace, to revive a land that continues to fall from its creator. There's never been a more practical time than this. Our choices, they carry massive consequences. In the New Testament, the word is cardia. The Lord emphasizes the importance of right states of heart. It's the pure in heart who see God. We realize sin is first committed in the heart. And out of the heart, as we heard in our scripture, proceed evil thoughts and acts. This also is where forgiveness stems from. It's from the heart we love God. And it's not with a 20%, with 50%, or even 99.9%, but with all of our hearts that we should choose to love God. It's in this place, the heart, that the Word of God is sown and where it comes to fulfillment. Now, Paul's use of cardia falls somewhat on similar lines. It relates to personality. It relates to inner life. It relates to what one commentator stated as emotional states of consciousness, the intellectual activities. But most of all, it relates to choice. The heart is at the center of all matters. We know that God searches the heart and He shines the light of the knowledge of His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. It's the matter of the heart where men and women are illumined, cleansed, and renewed by the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I long for this. It's the inward renewal, the new birth, the regeneration that takes place there. But we know it's where the spiritual battle begins and ends. Friends, my prayer is that we win these battles, and the words and thoughts of our heart are always pleasing to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the heart. We thank you for the difference that your word makes. And we know that there are times where we're struggling. We know that there are times when we make choices that we regret. But Father, we know that in the midst of these battles of our morals, that there is someone that we can turn to, someone that we can allow to lead our lives. And this morning, we trust in that Holy Spirit to be our guide, to lead us, to give us right decisions, to help us to be able to choose life. And Father, we know that you're glorified in the process. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a county who hired a new person to paint fresh yellow lines down the middle of all the county roads. The first day, this man painted an astonishing 10 miles of road with new double yellow lines. It was a record. No one had ever painted 10 miles of yellow lines in one day. The boss was certainly impressed. Although still good, the second day, the man only painted 7 miles of lines. The third day, the man managed to only paint 5 miles, which wasn't all that great. The boss thought, well, he just had a bad day. But then comes along the fourth day, and the man only managed to paint 1 single mile of yellow line. The boss just didn't understand. He had no choice but to call him in the office and ask for an explanation. It made no sense. He was doing so well. And here's what the man said. He told him painting the lines was getting more difficult each day and his progress was less and less. Because you see, boss, the further I got along, the further I got away from my paint bucket. Friends, the lesson is this. Take the bucket with you. As Christians, the longer we live, the more intense our lives can get, the more difficult our decisions can be. But the further away from that bucket, the source of our hope and our faith, Jesus Christ, the likelier we are to make that mistake. So today, maybe for the very first time, you've realized there's a matter of the heart that simply is being influenced by something you allowed to creep in. Often these things creep in unknowingly. And those priorities that we once had no longer has Jesus as Lord of our lives. So I invite you today, starting right after the service, or even before you leave, to examine your heart, to see where Jesus is placed. And if he's not your priority, perhaps there's a life realignment that needs to take place. I encourage us to take the bucket with us, to keep Jesus the center of all things, and continually dump that bucket full of God's word into our hearts. It's then, dear friends, that our choices become much easier. It's then, dear friends, we honor God and we show the world by our choices that indeed it is a matter of the heart. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Let his faithfulness be evident to all. Don't hold back. Be all in. Amen.
Oh,
Would you close with me by reciting the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Go in peace.